May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 87, the first part. With David's Lord and ours, a covenant once was made, whose bonds are firm and sure, whose glories ne'er shall fade, signed by the sacred three in one, in mutual love, ere time began. Hymn number 87, the first part.
Thank you. There are two portions from the Holy Word of God that I'd like us to read together this evening. The first is from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. I'd like us to read together the 13th chapter. And our second reading is from the book of the Revelation in the 21st chapter. And in that chapter, I'd like us to read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter. So our first reading this evening is from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's now turn to our second reading, which is in the Revelation of John the Divine, the 21st chapter. And in that chapter, I would like us to read from the 10th verse to the end of the chapter. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that taught with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless it to each of our souls, and may he help each of us to call upon his great and holy name in prayer. Great and almighty Lord God, teach us how to pray. Teach us what we should pray for, how we should pray, Lord. And may the meditation of our mind, the words of our lips be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we need thee. We need thee, Lord, in every aspect, care and concern of our lives. We need thee, Lord, as we wander through this wilderness journey. We need thee, Lord, to teach us. As thy disciples, Lord, came and they besought thee, Lord, that thou would teach them to pray. Or teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us, Lord, what we stand in need of. And do, Lord, grant, Lord, grant unto us that receptive spirit, that we might be taught by thee. Lord, thou knowest the state and condition of each that appear in these thine earthly courts this day. Any, Lord, that are listening remotely in their own homes, thou knowest the condition of each, Lord. Thou knowest what each stands in need of. Lord, we're poor and needy. What a mercy to know that we are so, Lord. What a mercy to know our poverty. Lord, this sinner in the pulpit feels his spiritual poverty, his lack of knowledge, his lack of understanding. And yet, Lord, teach me. Teach us each, Lord. Lord, poor in the things of this world, poor in spiritual things and needy. What a mercy it is that our Father knoweth what we have need of before ye ask. Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of better than we do ourselves. Lord, we often think we need many things. And Lord, what a mercy it is to bring all our needs unto thee in prayer. And yet, Lord, thou knowest what we really need, what we stand in need of. We think of that one that's recorded in thy word, that was found at thy feet. That one, Lord, who had chosen that good part, that one thing needful. Lord, may we this night be found at thy feet. Lord, what a blessed place to be at the feet of Jesus. Do, Lord, grant that we might come humbly, that we might come with that reverence and godly fear, feeling what we are, knowing what we are, Lord, hell-deserving sinners. We come, Lord, in all our poverty, in all our neediness. We come, Lord, in all our wretchedness. We come, Lord, in all our filthiness. We come, Lord, in all our vileness. And yet we come. We must come. We come, Lord, in and through a precious Christ. O Lord, may he be seen instead of us when we approach to thee. That one that stands between in garments, dyed in blood, and mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one mediator, Lord. And Lord, we worship thee. We worship thee. May, Lord, we be favoured this night as our friends to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Worship thee, Lord, that there is that mediator. That there is one that stands between. That there is a precious Christ. That there is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. O Lord, may we be found amongst those. Those, Lord, who have found sheltering under that covenant, ordered and all things ensure. Lord, we think of that hymn that we've just sung. May we be those, Lord, that know thy love. May we know more of thy love, Lord, if we felt it. Those, Lord, who love thee, Lord. How short our love comes. How short my love comes. And yet, Lord, what a mercy that thou knowest those that are thine. Thy loving kindness, Lord. Thy eternal love to those, Lord, that don't deserve it. Those, Lord, that don't merit it. Those, Lord, that aren't worthy of it. No, Lord, we're wretches. We're filthy. We're loathsome. And what a mercy to know it, Lord. But we are, Lord, we have those wounds, those bruises, those putrefying sores. And yet, Lord, we come in all our loathsomeness unto one that's so precious, one that's lovely, one that knows all things, one who loves his people despite what they are, despite what they do. The love of God to sinners. May we know more of it, Lord. Any, Lord, that don't know it, may they know it, Lord. That love, Lord, that passeth knowledge. That love that passeth understanding. That love that saves even the chiefest of sinner from hell. Lord, may we know it. May we feel it. May it break our hard hearts, Lord. Some of us have got very hard hearts. We've got that heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, thou knowest it, Lord. Break our hearts, Lord. Break it with the love of Christ. May, Lord, we feel it. May we know it. Greater love of no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, Lord, what a mercy, if any here. No, Lord, what a mercy if all here are numbered amongst thy friends. Those, Lord, that know thee. Those that love thee. Those, Lord, who worship thee. Those, Lord, who reverence thee. Those, Lord, that fear. Those, Lord, that feel their need of thee. What a wonderful thing to be amongst the friends of God. May we be found amongst thy friends, Lord, amongst thine enemies, Lord. May, Lord, we be diligent to make our calling and election sure. May each of us have those tokens and evidences that we're not deceived. We're not deceivers of others. We shall not deceive thee. No, Lord. May, Lord, we be diligent. Diligent in the things of God. May we be diligent to make our calling and election sure, Lord. Lord, may, Lord, we be constant, always in prayer, Lord. May, Lord, we be given that true wrestling prayer that thou would not let us go. That we would, Lord, not let thee go. Until, Lord, thou bless us. Bless us, Lord, with a saving interest in the blessed Redeemer. Bless us, Lord, to know Oh Lord, some of us are fearing creatures. Some of us, Lord, Lord, thy word declares we often fear where no fear is. And yet, Lord, we often fear, this sinner does, Lord. Fear, Lord, lest we should be a deceiver or a castaway. Fear, Lord, lest when thou dost come for thy people that we should be left. What a solemn state and condition to be left. May, Lord, we have those evidences, Lord, that we're graven. Yes, Lord, graven on the palms of thy hands, that thou hast suffered, bled and died for us, rose again the third day for our justification. May, Lord, each know it from the youngest to the eldest. Leave none out, Lord. None are too young. None are too old for thee to work, Lord. Work. I shall work, and who shall let it? None will let it, Lord. Satan can't. Our own wicked heart can't. Our deceitful heart, Lord, can't. But work, Lord. Work, Lord, we beseech of thee. Assure each of us, Lord, if any of us have got a hope, what a mercy it is to have a hope, that good hope through grace. What a mercy, Lord, if we've got a hope that our names are in that Lamb's Book of Life. But assure us of it, Lord. Speak, Lord. Don't be silent unto us, Lord, lest thou be silent unto us. We become like those that go down into the pit. The pit's what we deserve, Lord. The wages of sin is death. We've earned an eternal damnation in hell by our deeds, by our sins of commission, the sins we have done, the sins that we commit, Lord, and sins of omission. When, Lord, we should have done things and we haven't, Lord, this sinner comes so short of the standard that's set before him in thy holy word. Lord, whosoever shall keep the whole law of God, yet offend in one part, he is guilty of all. And yet, Lord, we plead, I plead, that precious blood that for sin did atone. May, Lord, he be seen instead of me. May that blood, that precious blood, be applied to the lintel and doorposts of my heart and each of our hearts, Lord. We need the application. The head knowledge will not do, Lord. Thou knowest. To know these things, Lord, to know that there is sin, it's a mercy to know that, Lord. To know there is a Saviour, it's a mercy to know that, Lord. But, Lord, we must know that thou hast suffered, bled and died for me, individually. We need a personal religion, not the religion of others, Lord. We would pray for others, Lord. We would do so, Lord. We wouldn't have a selfish religion. But, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, speak. Speak words of comfort, Lord, to those that need it. Those, comfort ye my people, saith thy God. May there be a words of comfort, Lord, to those that need it. Those, Lord, that need that assurance. Those, Lord, that doubt and fears. Lord, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a mercy that is. Lord, speak with power. Power, Lord. That's what we desire, Lord. We desire something that might be spoken with power to our souls, to our hearts, and remain with us. Something, Lord, to uphold us, strengthen us, and support us through this wilderness journey. Do, Lord, speak to thy people. Those, Lord, that are cast down. Those that have got burdens, cares, and concerns. May, Lord, they, and may we, each of us, be granted that grace, that faith, to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lord, may we cast them. All our burdens, cares, and concerns, thou knowest what they are, Lord. May we prove the power of prayer. Oh Lord, uphold and strengthen and support, Lord. Any, Lord, that have got particular burdens, particular anxieties, particular cares, Lord. Lord, grant words of comfort. Those that might need words of direction, Lord, speak direction. This is the way, walk in it. When you turn the right hand, you turn to the left. Do, Lord, guide and direct each of thy people. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, thy gracious presence as we travel through this wilderness journey. Leave none of us to wander off into bypath meadow. May we to be found walking on the narrow path to heaven and not the broad path to destruction. We pray, Lord, for those that are afflicted. Grant thy presence, we pray, Lord. Uphold and strengthen and support, Lord. Grant healing mercy if it's thy will. Do, Lord, bless the means used, Lord, and be with those that care for them, Lord. Again, we think of my deacon here, Lord, and his circumstances. Do be with him. Grant him that strength sufficient for the day. Do, Lord, grant him thy gracious presence. We could ask for nothing greater, Lord, than that thou would be with him. that he might feel those everlasting arms. And as we pray for him, Lord, we pray for each of those that are afflicted and those that care for them, Lord. And we were even talking about it at tea time, many of the afflictions, Lord. Many of the afflictions of thy people, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would uphold, thou would strengthen, that thou would support. Do, Lord, be with them. And Lord, may it be a speaking word to each of us, Lord. The frailty of life, none of us knows when thou wilt call, but may we be ready for that time when thou wilt call. Be with those that have lost loved ones. Grant thy gracious presence, uphold them, strengthen and support them, and may they feel the presence of that one that sticketh closer than a brother. We pray for those that are on their own, those that might feel lonely. Lord, they're not alone. Reveal thy gracious presence. Do, Lord, draw nigh. We pray, Lord, for the young and rising generation. Grant thy gracious presence, we pray. Grant wisdom to parents and grandparents and those that come into contact with children. Grant they might set their right and proper example before them, Lord. And Lord, work mightily in them, Lord. Grant unto them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we all need that wisdom. We all need the fear of the Lord. But do, Lord, keep the children, Lord. Keep them close to thee, close to thy word, close to thy people, Lord. And raise them up to be pillars in each of the causes of truth. Lord, we would pray that I would be with them. Lord, make them manifest, if it's thy will, of being amongst thy people. Oh Lord, there is much to pray for. There are many of thy people to bear before thee, Lord. And thy word declares that we should pray for each other. We should bear the burdens of each other. We should bear them before thee, Lord. We would do so, Lord, that thou would be with each of thy people in the various circumstances of life. Be with any, Lord, that have gone for rest and change from this place. Keep them safe from harm. Preserve them from all evil. May the rest and change do them good. And may they return at the time appointed. Lord, and we think of the restrictions. We thank thee, Lord, that the restrictions upon us, Lord, are now lifted. The legal requirements, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that once again we're able to gather in thy house without face masks. And that, Lord, we are able to sing thy praises, Lord, and we thank thee for thy many mercies. And yet, Lord, the virus has not gone away. It's still prevalent, Lord. Many cases, Lord, we thank thee for the cases seem to be declining. And yet, Lord, we look to thee. We don't look to the vaccines. We don't look to what man can do. No, Lord, we look to thee, that thou would keep each of us safe from harm, preserve us from all evil, that thou would keep this virus from us, Lord. And we pray for those, Lord, who have the virus or have had the virus that gather here, Lord, do be with them. Uphold, strengthen and support them, Lord, and grant thy presence, we pray, Lord. But Lord, we need thee. We need thee, Lord, to be that wall of fire round about us and the glory in the midst. Do, Lord, hear us, we pray, Lord. And we pray for our government, that thou and our those that are in authority over us, Lord, as we have been reading, Lord, and as thy word declares that we should, we pray for those in authority over us, that they would grant them wise counsel and good judgment, that, Lord, they might be guided and directed aright by thee, Lord. We bear them before thee, Lord, and work even mightily amongst those that are in power, that there might be a turning unto thee, that those laws on our statute books that are contrary to thy word might be repealed, and that only those laws which are right in accordance with thy will might be in our laws, Lord, and that right laws might be put in place, Lord. And we pray for those, Lord, that have to make a stand in this our nation in which we live. We think of those, Lord, that, well, thy word declares, those that honour me, I will honour, Lord. Those, Lord, that have to work in difficult circumstances. We think of one, Lord, we know who's even had to give up employment because of transgenderism. We pray, Lord, for her, Lord, and each. Grant thy presence, we pray, Lord, and grant, Lord, that we might shine forth as lights in a very dark land, Lord. I shirk from it. I do, Lord, thou knowest it's not in my nature. But may, Lord, we set that right and proper example before the world. And Lord, and those that have to return to their secular employment on the Monday, the coming day, Lord, if it's thy will, may, Lord, they others take knowledge of them and know that they've been with Jesus. Yes, Lord, in the world, but not of the world. What a mercy that is. Be with Zion, be with our denomination. Oh Lord, we need thee. We need thee to work. We thank thee, Lord, that this cause of truth has been maintained. We thank thee, Lord, that it's been built up. We thank thee, Lord, for the large number that gather here. And yet, Lord, thou knowest there are many causes of truth amongst our denomination that are minished and brought low. We think of those causes of truth, Lord, where literally only one meet or to me. We know, Lord, that thou art not limited to numbers, and we thank thee for that. That thy word declares that where two or three are gathered in thy name, there am I in the midst. And yet, Lord, we need thee to work. We think of those causes of truth, Lord, that are on the verge of closing, looking at it from an earthly perspective, Lord, where perhaps one meets and that's all. Oh, Lord, work. Build up Zion. Grant that our denomination might be better, see better days, that thy dead elect might be made manifest. We need thee to work, Lord. We think of former times when the chapels were full and how we're minished and brought low. Do, Lord, bring others in. Thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save, even in these days in which we live. Pluck those brands from the burning, even those that go past this place on the road, Lord. Grant, Lord, that thou would work mightily, Lord, that some might inquire and turn in, Lord, to this place, Lord. Build up. Grant a godly, gracious increase, we beseech of thee. Be with each of thy servants this night. Uphold us, strengthen and support us, those of us that are labouring this night, Lord. It's the evening of thy day, Lord. Lord, may we prove, Lord, that the barrel of meal does not waste. The cruse of oil is not empty, Lord. We know, Lord, that for thy servant Elijah, Lord, he proved thy faithfulness. He proved that those things didn't waste, Lord, that they weren't empty. May we prove that this night, Lord, that the barrel is not empty. That there's something, Lord, for each of us as we gather in thine house this night. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, that we might shut the world out. Tiredness and weariness might depart from us. And yet, Lord, we would beseech thee, thou would feed us. Feed us with a crumb from off the master's table, Lord. What a feast that would be. Even a crumb, Lord, what a feast. Do, Lord, feed us. Help me, Lord, this night. Speak a few things to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory, Lord. I need thee, Lord. Thou knowest the word that thou hast laid upon my spirit, and I don't know how to open it up before the people here, Lord. I need thee, Lord, to open my mouth wide and fill it. And trust, Lord, as our friend said in the vestry, there's been much prayer offered up, Lord. Prayer for the service of thy house this day, Lord, and do follow with thy blessing what was attended to in the former part. Thy deacon here, Lord, with the reading service, Lord. Grant, Lord, that there might be the signs following. Lord, and help me this night. Help others to listen. And may there be a flowing together in all things. Help thy servants, any, Lord, that are resting from their labours. Do be with them. Any that journeys to make, Lord, grant journey mercies. And any that have got journeys in the evening, Lord, keep safe from harm. Preserve from evil. Oh, but Lord, we are poor earthen vessels. We put the excellency of the power is of God, Lord. Grant, Lord, that something might remain with us, that we might not leave it all on the chapel doorstep, that we might be fruit-bearing branches. Lord, some of us feel to be so fruitless at times. But Lord, grant, Lord, that the what's spoken might be prepared, might be fall upon that prepared ground, that ground that's ploughed up by thee, that it might bear that fruit towards thy great and holy name. Do, Lord, thrust others out onto the walls of Zion. The harvest, Lord, is great. Such a need for thy servants, Lord. And again, we think of this time of the year where engagements are made. We say, God willing, Lord, and the number of requests that come in, Lord, and we think of the number of pulpits that aren't full. We think of reading services, Lord, and the soul. Oh, Lord, we need thee. Thrust others out, Lord. Those that would set forth before the people the things they've handled, tasted and felt the good word of God, laying sinners low. And exalting thee, the Saviour of sinners. Be with those that have gone out recently, Lord. Be with them and their families. Accept of a heart thy gratitude for every mercy. In providence and in grace we have an abundance. We thank thee, Lord, for thy many, many mercies. They're manifold, Lord. Fresh every day, new every morning, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for journey of mercies this day. We thank thee, Lord, for help afforded this day. We thank thee, Lord, for thy many provisions, the food and so on, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for thy taking care of us. We thank thee, Lord. Oh, the Lord, thy word declares, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Lord. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou dost provide what thy people need. But, Lord, thou knowest this night. Lord, provide the things that we need by each of us. Forgiving all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our shortcomings. Wash us and wash me in that precious sin-atoning blood. Make us acceptable in thy sight, we pray. Help us this night to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 411. Come, saints, and sing in sweet accord, with solemn pleasure tell the covenant made with David's Lord, in all things ordered well. Hymn 411.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the help of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to turn to the first chapter that we read together. That's the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And the words, or the verse, that I trust has been laid upon my spirit for us to meditate upon this evening, is the 14th verse. So Hebrews chapter 13 and the 14th verse. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The 13th and 14th verses read, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I'd just like to commence this service by how I believe this word was given to me. The last Lord's Day, I was preaching at Clifton, and in the evening, the deacon there gave out the 1048th hymn. It's all about an abiding city. I may refer to that hymn later. He gave out that hymn, and he said the first and the second hymns they had were very solemn, and very wonderful as well. He gave them out because there was a death of someone that they knew who was relatively young. I think it was a woman in 48. And by the ages, this day and age when people hope to live a lot longer, I know that's in the Lord's hand, relatively young, with two young children. And, well, they were in their 10s or 11s, I think. And he gave out this hymn, and I've been infected with it since then. And I thought I had to preach from it this Lord's Day. Until your deacon rang me up on Friday, I thought I only had two services today. I had a potential I might have a third, but that didn't occur. So I thought I had two, and I didn't know which of the three texts that laid upon my spirit I would have to preach from in the two different locations, twice at Braintree and once here. And I trust that after much prayer, that this is the word that the Lord's given me to bring here to you this evening. And I pray that if it was so, that the Lord would grant some token, something to help me, something to enable me to preach from it. Because as I said in prayer, I don't really know how to preach from this text. I trust the Lord will help me in opening it up to you. I trust you've prayed for me, much prayer. I trust you've been praying that, I trust you pray for each of the Lord's servants that come into this pulpit, that you might be found much in prayer for them. Prayer for yourselves, of course, that you might have a word that might come with power, a word that might remain with you, and a word for thy servants. They might be upheld, strengthened. Well, I prayed that the Lord would grant me some token, something, to indicate that this is the word that I have to come here with this evening. And I feel that word, you've just sung it, in the 411th hymn that our friend gave out. It talks about that covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that covenant that cannot fail, that covenant that's constant, that covenant of grace, not the covenant of works. And in the fifth verse, it says this, when rolling words depart on fire and thousands sink to hell, this covenant shall the saints admire in all things ordered well. Now, how does that fit in with our text? Well, think about the text. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews, Paul is setting before the Hebrew believers that the only way of salvation, the only way of hope, the only way in which a sinner can be made right in the sight of our thrice holy God is through the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. The Jews were trying to pull back the Hebrew believers by trying to get them to believe that the law was superior to the work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So in this epistle, Paul is setting before them the only hope of salvation for you, for me, for all the election of grace is in and through the finished work of the blessed Redeemer, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He sets before them in the chapter that we read very many gracious things. We are to remember those that are in authority over us, forgetful not to entertain strangers and so on. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Of course, that relates to the 10th commandment. I think it's the 10th one. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have. You and I, living in a dying world, this is a world, decay is all about us. It's all around us. You can't leave much out in this atmosphere and it decays. You leave food out, it corrupts. You leave wood out, it gets worm in it, and so on. This is a dying world. We are dying humans. Death is all about us. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? That you and I, one day, must leave this world. You and I must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. After death, the judgment. Solemn thoughts, aren't they? Death and eternity. The pandemic that we're still not out. Many thousands. I don't know the number. The number really is beyond my understanding. I have trouble with large numbers. I can't really think of the great number that have been taken from time into eternity in a twinkling of an eye. Many taken, many left, taken out of this world. Where are they now? I will not judge any man. I dare not judge any man. God is the judge. The Lord only knows those that are his, not man, not any man, I believe. Some of you may know that one of the first things when I went into the ministry a few years ago, it's my third year now, the November of that year, I had to bury my own father. Okay. He'd been unwell for some time, and I had to take his funeral. At the funeral, it was about 5 or 6 people, only the immediate family. It was a very solemn event. It was very difficult for me to take the funeral of my own father. And I read that chapter in the Word of God about, and they die, that list of those that all died. And I had to bury him. And I say this carefully and prayerfully. I say I had to bury him without a hope. That's solemn, isn't it? Solemn to bury someone that you love. Sorry to bury someone who you care for without a hope. Never made a profession of God. Never spoke about God. In the family where I was brought up, the house where I was brought up, there was no Bible. There was no prayers. God was not mentioned, only by blasphemy, and so on. I'm not judging my God, my dad. I would not be able to judge him. I can't. I don't know where he is now. I know where I think he might be. But only the Lord knows those that are his. And of course, there's the dying thief. In the last hours of his life, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. My father never said anything, never made any intimation. Now, why do I mention this? Death is a very solemn thing. It's a very blessed thing as well, though. It is. The text, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This world, the cities of this world, they will not continue forever. This world will not continue forever. When the last saint is born, when the last saint is called, this world will be rolled up, will cease to exist. Think of the worlds, think of the cities in this our nation. Think in God's holy word of some of the cities. Cities, great cities that were built. Built by men to their glory, to their honour. Think of Nineveh. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon that city, that doesn't exist anymore, did it? The Lord poured out his wrath upon them. Think of Jerusalem. Jerusalem where the temple was. Think how that was destroyed. I think it was in about AD 70. After the death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. So that city didn't survive. So literally, the cities that man builds, They are not here forever. Some of the devastation that's being wrought upon this, our world. Think about the floods that have been happening. Think about the fires that have been happening. This world will not be here forever. The cities will not be here forever. Very solemn in God's word. In the 49th Psalm, it says this. I'll read from the 10th verse. And I'll read from the 9th. That he shall still live forever. That he shall still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. But, and this is the word, this is the verse that came to my mind this morning. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and that their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names. They think, the foolish think, that they shall continue forever. Their dwelling places, they name their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not, he is like the beasts that perisheth. We have no abiding city here. The things of this world are decaying things. The things of this world are perishing things. They're dying things. They will not continue forever. You and I will not continue forever. You may say, what a strange thing to say, but it's true. You and I live in a changing world. How fast things change. How the rate of change seems to be even increasing. How things don't stay the same for very long, do they? Things change. Our circumstances change. Those that are about round about us, they change. Some taken, some left. How things change in the nation. Nothing continues in this life. What did the preacher said in Ecclesiastes? It's all vanity. All the things of this world are vanity. Vanity, vanity, and vexation of spirit. They are. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. So as we, existing in this world, we have to be content with the things that our good and gracious God has given us. Not to be coveting, not to look at other things, not to look after other things or desire other things, but to be content. Content with what the Lord gives us. We live in a changing world, as I said. Situation changes, circumstances changes. In the word of God, it says, those that have no changes, fear not God. The many changes, things don't stay the same. Now, to the Lord's people, I trust that each of you may be found amongst the Lord's people. There's no greater blessing than to be numbered amongst those who had found sheltering under that covenant, ordered in all things and sure that you've been singing about. That covenant that does not change. That covenant that cannot change. To be found sheltering under that covenant. What a mercy. You and I, say, we live in a world that changes. This is not the rest of the Lord's people. The Lord will not have his people to be at rest in this world. Now, thank God there are times and seasons when we can have a measure of rest and a measure of prosperity. That's a measure of relief from toils, cares and conditions. But it doesn't last for long, does it? Not if I know anything about the pathway of the Lord's people. There's always something, or there isn't much space of time before another trial comes or another difficulty comes. And the Lord permits these things or brings these things into the lives of his people because this is not our rest. This is not our continuing city. There are many examples in the word of God. In the 107th Psalm, The Lord has written this. And he led them forth by the right way. The Lord leads his people through this wilderness journey. And he leads them forth by the right way. Now that way at times can be very, very difficult. It can be very trying. There can be much anxiety, much care, much tribulation, much to pray over. And he led them forth by the right way. But this verse goes on and says that they might go to a city of habitation. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Everything that happens in this, our wilderness journey, everything that's brought into our pathway, everything that the Lord permits Satan to bring into our pathway, it's for our teaching. It's for our profit. Some of the dealings that the Lord's people have to go through are very, very trying, very, very difficult. And I'm not minimizing any trials or anything, God forbid. But he leads them forth by the right way. This is not our rest. This is not our continuing place. This is not our city, or not our continuing city. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So, and in that same psalm, it says this, of those that reel to and fro. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And at their wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Don't know what to do. Trial, difficulties, wit's end. Wit's end corner. And what did that person do? That drunken man felt like a drunken man. They'd staggered to and fro. The trials were too difficult. Pathway, very hard. What did they do? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And what did the Lord do? He bring them out of their distresses. And the portion of God's word that I refer to goes on. He said, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. And he bringeth them into their desired haven. What's your desired haven? What's my desired haven? A haven is a resting place, isn't it? It's a place where there's security, a place, and it's obviously he's thinking of mariners there with the storms and the sea and how they want to get to a port for safety. This is not our place of safety. This world is not our rest. It's not long, if I know again anything about the pathway, and I trust that I'm not deceived, that in this world the Lord brings something to ruffle up our nests, something to make us flee to him. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world. Our Lord said that, didn't he? I pray for those that are in the world, but they're not of the world, even as he is not of the world. This is not our rest. This is not our continuing city. What a mercy if you and I know it. What a mercy if this world is not our heaven. The 13th verse, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, without the camp, not under the law, not under sin, not in the world, without the camp, bearing his reproach. The way I believe the Lord, or I trust the Lord, has opened this up to make us, to make you, to make I concerned, to make us realization of course, first, that a never-ending eternity stands before each of us. This world will not continue forever. The cities will not continue forever. The metropolises will not continue forever. You and I will not continue in this world forever. But we seek one to come. Can that be said of you? Can it be said of me? There's a great comfort in this verse. A comfort to the Lord's people. A comfort because, in the first case, this world is a time of place, trial, difficulties, and we shouldn't be surprised because it's through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. These are they that have come out of great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now I know the Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. But this is not our rest. This is not our home, if we're amongst the Lord's people. Those that love the world, those that love the things of the world, they want to stay in the world, don't they? They want to have their comforts. They want to continue. They don't want this city that's yet to come. The city of our God. So we have no continuing city here. Do you know it? Or are you thinking about this world? Well, it's a comfortable place. It's a place where I'd like to stay. That's not the lot of the Lord's people. Solemn, isn't it, regarding those that think that it's so. Those who this is their city. Those who they're comfortable in this world. Very solemn when the Lord comes. Remember, he may come as a thief in the night. He may come when you and I are least expecting it. Now I know that everything is ordained by the Lord. The moment he will come to us to take us out of this world was ordained before time began. Not a shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Everything ordained, everything decreed by our God. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. So when the Lord may come, he may come as a thief in the night. And are you ready? Am I ready? Is your desire, as our hymn writer says, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Have you ever turned that into a prayer? Have you ever asked the Lord to prepare you? Have you ever I've asked the Lord that he might make me ready and keep me ready for eternity. Some of us are very, very crooked stones, aren't we? Some of us have got a lot of corners to be knocked off before we're ready. And the Lord knows that. The Lord knows, and he will come to take us out of this world. In John's Gospel, it talks of the Lord preparing those mansions for his people. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. You and I don't deserve a mansion. Do you know it? Trust you do. You and I know that some believe that that word mansion should be translated as a room. But we don't even deserve a room, do we? In and of ourselves. We deserve nothing. Nothing in heaven in and of ourselves. That heavenly Jerusalem, that city that's up on high. You and I deserve nothing. We don't deserve even the smallest. You and I don't deserve to be a servant in that mansion. You and I don't deserve to be in that city. But the love of God to hell-deserving sinners, the love of God to the chiefest of sinners, the love of God to 500 pence debtors, that they are the ones who seek for this city. That city, but we seek one to come. What an inheritance they have. Inheritance that's incorruptible. And have you ever thought about the word of God? Where it would be mercy if you and I were ever found to be a servant in heaven. Wouldn't that be a mercy? To be a servant of God? To be with God? To be in heaven? To be in that heavenly city? To be in that heavenly Jerusalem. And yet, for the Lord's people, for those who are found under that covenant, for those who have a saving interest in the finished work of the Blessed Redeemer, for those to whom Jesus Christ is precious, for those whom he suffered, bled and died for, rose again the third day for their justification, they're not made servants, no. They're made heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Made son and daughters of the Most High God. The love of God is beyond my understanding, friends. I want to know more of it. I wish I knew more than I do. I trust I've known a little bit or felt a little bit of it. But the love of God to his people. Just think of this world. Let me go back to it just for a minute. Just think of all the trials. Think of all the difficulties. Think of all the trials, difficulties, anxieties, cares and concerns. Wouldn't it be very, very difficult if that was the end of existence? But for the Lord's people, no. Release is death. Death is release from this world. It's release from cares. It's release from trials. It's release from difficulties. To be with Christ, which is far better. Is that your desire? Have you ever turned that into a prayer? Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Is it your desire to leave this world, to be with him, to be in paradise with a precious Christ? Well, back to the cares and concerns. That some of the Lord's people have very, very deep trials, very, very difficulties. But there's one thing. Well, there are a number of things they must keep in view, but the one thing that's laid in my spirit to mention of this night is this city, this heavenly city. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What a word of comfort to the Lord's people. I feel this word this night. I trust the Lord will enable me to, has enabled me so far to preach it faithfully. The first is that it's a word of, well, a word to wake us from a sleepy condition. If any are in a sleepy condition, be very careful. We need not to be in a sleepy condition. Any that might be comfortable. Any that might be at sleep. Any that might be in this world. To awaken us that this world is not our rest. To awaken us the fact that it's not continuing. So there's that side of the text, really, and that's really what I've been preaching up to now. The fact that this is not our continuing city. No. It's a changeable world. But there is a second side of this text. I trust the Lord would like his gracious help to lead me into. And that is that the Lord's people, they seek for a city to come. A city that have foundation. A city whose builder and maker is God. A city that is constant. A city that will remain. A city where there's no corruption. A city where there's no affliction, no death, no anxieties, no cares, no concerns. A glorious city. An eternal city. I've said that this world is a changing world, and it is. Some things don't change, though. What things don't change? The love of God, that doesn't change. It's constant. It's unchangeable, as our Lord is unchangeable. And we read it in the portion of God's holy word that we read, in the 8th verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. So the Lord changes not. This world changes. We change. You and I change. We blow hot and cold in half an hour. I think a hymn writer says something along those effects. Forgive me if I've quoted it wrong. You and I blow hot and cold. One moment hot in the things of God and another cold, aren't we? Well, perhaps I'm speaking for myself. Perhaps you're different to me. But he changes not. His love changes not. What a mercy that is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Now, as I said earlier, you and I deserve a never-ending eternity in hell. That's what we've earned. I might have mentioned it in prayer. By our sins, sins of omission and sins of commission. The only way of entering into this heavenly city, the only way of presence, of being in our precious God, the only way of being with Jesus is through Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The portion of God's holy word, our second reading, in the book of Revelation. And I was led to read that chapter, really, because it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. It talks about that city. We commence reading at the 10th verse, and how John in the Isle of Patmos was carried away by the angel, carried him in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed him that great city. What a great city! A heavenly city, a holy Jerusalem, heaven in heaven, having the glory of God and the light. And it talks about those great walls. No, great walls. What a place of safety heaven is to the Lord's people. Safe, secure. We're not safe in this world. We're not secure in this world. What a contrast to the cities of this world. You can read in God's holy word of those that built up great walls to keep invaders out, and so on, how they fell. But this heavenly city, this Jerusalem, the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And those gates, those number of gates that were listed. Now, this is, to me, quite a mysterious portion of God's holy word. And whenever we come across portions of God's holy word that to us are mysterious, to us, we have to turn it into a prayer, don't we? Lord, reveal to me what this portion and what the portions of God's holy word mean. Had these gates, these ways in. Now, those gates, always open. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day and at all by day and night. There shall no night be there. What a place heaven is. What a place this city is. There is no need of the sun. And how we like the sun, how we like to feel the sun, don't we? The warmth of it. And this city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God was there. The glory of God is there. And the Lamb is the light thereof, that one that came into this world. The one who is the light of the world is in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. Wonderful, isn't it, heaven? Wonderful, isn't it, this city? This place that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ went before his people to prepare. And he's there now. He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, heaven, this city. What a solemn place, though. Did you read carefully the last verse that we read together? It talks of this city. And it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. There's no sin in heaven. All sins are put away. Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a holy place because a thrice holy God is there. A holy, holy, holy God. And as I said, the only way into this city that the Lord's people look for, is through and in a precious Christ, the Saviour of sinners. This is the city that the Lord's people look for, that they seek for, that they desire to go to follow in the footsteps of the faithful, to be with Christ, which is far better. Earlier in the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews, it talks about Abraham, faithful Abraham. Abraham, who at the age of 75 had to leave and followed the instructions of his Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, the heirs with him, of the same promise. And it's this verse that's light upon my spirit for us to mention in conclusion. For he looked for a city. Abraham looked for a city who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Are you looking to that city? Do you have the faith? Abraham. Faithful Abraham, as the word of God declares him. And he was faithful, and he is faithful. He's in heaven now. He's in that heavenly city. All the saints that have gone before us are in that city. And what a wonderful place. Why? Not because it's a rest, but it is a rest. Not because it's a place of safety. It is a place of safety. Not because it's a place of security. Why is it such a wonderful place? Because Jesus Christ is there. The one that he loves. The one that he wants to be with. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Heaven's a wonderful place. Yes, it is the opposite in a number of ways to hell. Hell where the worm dieth not. Where the thirst is not quenched. Where there's torments forever and ever and ever. There's no escape. That great gulf is fixed. Purgatory does not exist. After death, the judgment. As I said, you and I must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then it's either, well, heaven or hell for eternity. But what a mercy if you and I have our eyes opened, our hearts opened to desire, to seek after this city. This city whose builder and maker is God. This city that hath foundations. This city where our beloved is. This city where we can gaze upon him forever and ever and ever. No sin intruding. Nothing intruding. He's the light of this city. He is all and in all. And those that love him, those that really love him, want to be with him. They don't want this world to be their continuing city. Man tries to do so much to try and prolong life. So much science, so much money is wasted. And I use that word carefully, being a scientist, or used to be working in the scientific. So much money is wasted trying to prolong man's life. But for the Lord's people, when they're ready, they don't want to live in this world. They don't want this world. They don't want the things of this world. No. I don't want to live in this world forever. Do you? I don't want my days to be prolonged above what the Lord decrees. Do you? They won't be, of course. No. It's a time of place of woe. It's a place of anxiety, cares and concerns. Well, that's the world. That's what we have to endure in the world. The tribulations of the world. The difficulties that were to prepare us for heaven. To loosen the bonds to this world. To loosen even the love we have to each other. Of course we should love each other. We should love our families. But when we come down to die, there's only one thing that'll matter. One thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Nothing else. We'll lose sight of everything. Lose sight of the world. Lose sight of those. And get a sight of him. That's what heaven is. That's why heaven's so wonderful to me. The thought, the hope of being with Christ. The thought of looking upon that precious, precious God-man. The one who gave his life for his people. A trust, I can say, not in presumption, for me. Can you say that? What a mercy if you can. If you love someone, you want to be with them, don't you? I wouldn't give much love for anyone in this world who doesn't want to be the one they love. Do you love him? Do you want to be with him? Do you want to go to that city whose builder and maker is God? Well, those are my thoughts this evening. May you take home and pray over it. May you and may I be ready when he will call. May we not be amongst those who are content with this world, the things of this world. May we not be in that sleepy, slowful condition. But may we be amongst those who are hungering and thirsting after him. May we be amongst those who seek this city to come, to be with him, to worship. Not to see him as we do at the moment through the lattice of his word darkly. But to see him face to face. To look upon him, to look upon the wounds in his hand in his feet, to look upon a precious Christ. He's in this city. That's the city that the Lord's people seek. So this is a word, first of all, as I said, a word to perhaps waken us to our condition. Waken us to the fact that this is not our rest, but there's a word of comfort here. For the Lord's people have an heavenly city, an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, a heavenly place. What a wonder that even the chiefest of sinners, he's in heaven now. He could call himself that, didn't he? This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What a mercy if you can say that. Jesus Christ, to be with him. May we be ready. And may we be more than ready. May we be hastening. Hastening for that time to be with him. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
Thank you.
no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. We've no abiding city here, sad truth, were this to be our home. But let the thought our spirits cheer, we seek a city yet to come. Great and almighty Lord God, forgive anything this poor sinner said amiss in our attempts to worship thee this night. Make up where we fail, Lord, with such failures. O Lord, but what a comfort to thy people, that, Lord, there is a city. A city whose builder and maker is God, a heavenly city, a heavenly Jerusalem. O Lord, may we come. O Lord, come quickly. Take us, Lord, to be with thee, which is far better. To be with the friends here, uphold them, strengthen and support them. Be with those, Lord, that have got trials and difficulties, and may it be a comfort unto them, Lord, that there is one day when all our trials, all our troubles will come to an end, and then, oh, for the Lord's people, Lord, oh, then, to be with Christ, which is far better. Be with the friends here, uphold them, strengthen and support them, Lord, in life's journey. Do, Lord, grant thy gracious presence. Be with us as we part. Make up where we fail. Make up, Lord, in anything I've said amiss. Forgive anything, Lord, that I've not said, come so sure. But grant, Lord, that something might remain with us, that we might think upon, Lord, this world, this dying world, and yet our thoughts may be taken from this world, from this dying world, that our thoughts might be taken to a precious Christ who's now in heaven. And may, Lord, we be with thee. Commend this people into thy good and gracious hand. Keep them, Lord. Keep them, Lord, together. Keep them in thy love. Keep them in thy presence. Keep them close to thee. Grant journey and mercies. We ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.